You are listening to BensTorah.com.
After Klaus or Moshe Rabbeinu stood at Har Sinai in Chodesh Sivan to Mekabel the Torah, and Hashem revealed to them the Aseres HaDibros and explained to them what they mean. We know that after that specific occurrence took place, as is dramatically portrayed in Parshas Yisro, with all the drama involved and the Shinuyim and Teva that took place, and Klal Yisrael between what you find in Parshas Yisro, what you find ultimately in Parshas Mishpatim towards the end, which according to Rashi historically took place at a similar time frame, in Mukdam Ulcha B'Torah, we find that Klal Yisrael accepted the Torah and Aseh V'Nishma, as I discussed in last week's shiur of what, how the Masorah of Torah took place throughout the generations. But what I want to discuss is something that really is amazing when it comes to Moshe going up after the Aseres HaDibros and Klal Yisrael go back to their tents, go back to their homes to live a normal life, as the Gemara tells us. Moshe was told to stay there, and Moshe ultimately was summoned by HaKadosh Baruch Hu after the Aseres HaDibros. Some say he had to seclude himself for 7 days. Others say it happened immediately. But Moshe was asked to come up to Shemayim in order for Hashem to disclose to him in the next 40 days, Kol HaTorah Kula, where we say the Mishnah Moshe Kibbeh Torah Misinai, Moshe went up, and he basically received Kol HaTorah Kula, Torah Shebikzav, Torah Shebal Peh, the Chidushei Torah, not only of his generation, the Chidushei Torah of later generations, which he was not allowed to disclose, but it was told to him, so he should have a Shleimus in his knowledge of Kol HaTorah Kula. And we find that when Moshe went up, all of a sudden, the Gemara records in Masechet Shabbos, on Daf Peches Amibes 88b, the following scenario of events, which I want you to listen to very carefully because of how strange this entire narrative is. Amar Rabbi Shua ben Levi, Rabbi ben Levi, says the following: B'shosh ala Moshe Lamara, when Moshe went up to the heavenly heights, and quite obviously he went up to Mekabel Kol HaTorah Kula, Armu Malachi Asharas Lefnei HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the angel said in front of the Rabbeinu Shalom, Ma Liyalud Isha Beinenu, why is somebody, a human being born of human beings, born to a woman, doing amongst us? He's a different type of entity. He's a physical, corporeal entity. We are in Shemayim, the Rabbeinu Shalom, Bechoyda B'yatzman, the Malachim are incorporeal, no physical body, we're metaphysical entities. So what is this Yilud Isha, this human being, doing amongst us? Amar lehen, so Hashem said to the Malachim, Lekabel Torah Bo, Moshe has come to receive the Torah. So Amar lefanav, so the Malachim said to the Rabbeinu Shalom, Chamuda Genuza, the covered and treasured Torah, Shegenuza lecha, Teisha Meyos v'Shivim v'Arba Deiros Kedim B'Riyas Olam, that was stored by you in a special divine treasure house for 974 generations before the world was created. You now plan to give this Torah over to a mere human being? Me'enosh kisiz kerenu, uven adam kisif kedenu. What is a mortal person that you should remember him? The son of man that you should recall him? Hashem Adoneinu ma'ad yashimcha b'chol ha'ores. Hashem, how grand is your name in all of the earth, in all of the universe. Asher t'nehoidcha l'ashamayim, that you bestowed your glory upon all of the heavens. very, very beautiful, beautiful terminology that was used by the Malachim to describe the Rabbeinu Shalom and Briyat Olam. So upon hearing all of this statements of the Malachim protesting that Hashem should not give the Torah to Moshe and in turn not give the Torah to Klal Yisrael, and we see a debate taking place and the Malachim protesting this specific phenomenon, the Rabbeinu Shalom turns to Moshe Rabbeinu and he says to Moshe, according to the Gemara in Shabbos, Hech Solehem Tshuva, Moshe, give them an answer. I want to see a debate take place between you and the Malachim to explain to them why I'm giving you the Torah to bring down to Klal Yisrael. So Moshe says to the Rabbeinu Shalom, as the Gemara continues, Amalafan of Moshe said to Hashem, Rabbeinu Shalayla, Master of the Universe, Misyara ani shema yisrafuni behevelei shebepiyem, if I start having a debate with the Malachim, since they're kulo esh, the total fire, they'll burn me with the breath emanating from their mouths as they debate me. Amalo Hashem said to Moshe Rabbeinu, Echoz b'kisei kevodi, v'chazel lehem tshuva, just take a hold of my throne of glory, and I want you to give answers. I want you to rebut them and all their tainos, all their complaints about me giving you the Torah to bring back to Klal Yisrael. And where do we see that Hashem, by having Moshe grab a hold of the divine throne, the Kisei HaKavod, this would protect him? So the Gemara says, Shenemar, Ma'aches p'nei ha'kisei pershes olav anono. He allows him to grasp hold of the throne. He spreads upon him his cloud. Omer Reb Nachum, what does this pasuk mean? What is the thrust of this pasuk, which comes from Sefer Iyov? So the Gemara says, Reb Nachum explains, Malamed sheperas Shakai Miziv Shchinoso V'anan Olav. Hashem surrounded Moshe Rabbeinu with the Ziv Ashchina V'Kadosh Baruch Hu, with the radiance of Hashem's divine presence. He encompassed him in a divine cloud to protect him during the debate he wanted him to have with the Malachim. Okay, so Moshe now is in a protected state. He's not worried about being hurt by the Malachim from their fiery entity. So Moshe then starts the debate. Amalafanav, he says to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Rabbeinu Shalayla, Torah Shatanosanli, the Torah you're giving to me, Maksivba, what is written in this Torah? So Hashem starts to quote, as we're going to see, the Aseres HaDibrais, which Klal Yisrael heard a couple of days earlier at Har Sinai B'Kabbalas HaTorah. He starts with, Anoich Hashem Elokecha, Asher Hotzeisicha Me'eretz Mitzrayim. I am Hashem who took you out of Egypt. Amalhem Moshe turned to the Malachim and said to them, L'Mitzrayim Yeradetem Malachim, did you ever descend to Egypt? L'Paro Hishtadabatem, were you ever enslaved as Avodim to Paro? Torah Lama Te'elechem. So what in the world do you need this Torah? Shuv Maksibo. Moshe then said to Hashem, quote me another pasuk. So he quotes the pasuk Hashem, Lo Yiloha Elohim Acherim Apana. You shouldn't have any of the gods before me. So Moshe turns to the Malachim and says to the Malachim, Bein Amim Atem Shurim, Sha'oivdim, do you, Malachim, live amongst the nations of the world that unfortunately are engrossed in the Avodah of worshipping Avodah Zarah, Avodas Galilim? Furthermore, Maksibay, give me another pasuk, Rabbeinu Shalom. Zacharis Yom HaShabbos Lekacha, remember Shabbos to sanctify it. So Moshe turned to the Malachim and said to them, Kulom atem oisim malachim shatem tzrichin shvus. Do you, Malachim, do any type of labor that you need of day or rest like Shabbos Kodesh? Shumak sibe, give me another pasuk, Rabbein Shalom. So Hashem quotes the pasuk, Lo sis Hashem Hashem lashav. Don't take Hashem's name in vain in swearing falsely. So Moshe said to the Malachim, Masa masim yesh b'neichem. Do you have business transactions amongst you, Malachim, that you have to take oaths and shvuos that this pasuk should relate to you? Shuv makasibba. Tell me another pasuk, Rabbi Nishalom. Kavedus avicha vesimecha. So Moshe said to the Malachim, Av em yesh lechem, do you have a father and mother, Malachim, that you have to adhere to a mitzvah of kibud av aim? Furthermore, Moshe said, Mak sibba, give me another pasuk. Lo sirtach, lo sinof, lo signov. Shin murder, adultery, stealing. So Moshe said to the Malachim, Kine yesh b'nechem, is there envy among you? Yetzahara yesh b'nechem, is there an evil incarnation contained in Malachim? Upon hearing all of Moshe's interpretation of the psukim which Hashem quotes from the Torah, he's going to be giving Moshe and Klal Yisrael. And Moshe is saying to the Malachim, does any of this Torah have any relationship to you, Malachim, whatsoever? As soon as the Malachim heard the Torah Hashem is giving to Klal Yisrael through Moshe Rabbeinu, Miyad Hodu Lo HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the Malachim conceded to Hashem that he was right to want to give this Torah to the Jews through Moshe. Hashem Adonainu Madyashimcha Ba'aretz. And we therefore see that quite obviously the Malachim were basically in total acquiescence. They agreed that the Torah Hashem that he's giving Moshe to give to Klal Yisrael is 100% correct in what Hashem's doing. And therefore they were maskim 100%. And not only that, the Malachim then decide, instead of having a debate and an adversarial relationship with Moshe, the Gemara records, Miyad kol echa v'echa nasa lo ohev, the Malachim all of a sudden befriended Moshe Rabbeinu and showed him Ava, Umas Adavan, gave him something, gave him presents to bring to Klal Yisrael, Shenema lisa lamoroim, shavisa shavi lakakta matanis vadam. You send it to the heights of heaven to capture the captive and took gifts, etc., etc. And Chazal say, "Bischash karucha Adam lakach the matanos," because quite obviously they called him a poor human being, and they realized that they meant it in a very insulting way. They wanted to make up with him. And they gave him gifts to pacify him, to try to develop a relationship. And even the Malach HaMavis gave him something as a matona to bring down Shenemar, Vayitein Esakateiris Vayichapa La'am. The Malach HaMavis told Moshe Rabbeinu that when Klal Yisrael might sin and the deserving of divine punishment, then I will come. The way to stop my power from having power over them and punishing them is to have a fire pen of keteres, of incense burning, place the incense between me coming and Klal Yisrael that will cause a kapara and prevent people from being killed. And we find, in fact, that Aaron used this in the Midbar when Klal Yisrael rebelled at one time. He put the keteres and he stopped the plague from taking place. And Chazal therefore show that Moshe was therefore accepted by the Malachim in Shemayim. The Malachim were happy about the Torah being given to the Jewish people. And the entire debate, discussion, And the rejection of this idea was rescinded by the Malachim, and they gave their 100% acquiescence to Moshe receiving Kol HaTorah Kulo to bring down to Klal Yisrael. This is a Gemara in Shabbos, a Peladik Gemara. So the question that everybody asks, didn't the Malachim know the text of the Torah that Hashem is giving Klal Yisrael? And didn't they realize the mitzvahs contained in the text of the Torah that Hashem is giving Klal Yisrael through Moshe Rabbeinu has no relationship to the Malachim whatsoever? These mitzvahs relate to entities that are basav adam, that are human beings. It relates to a human world. The mitzvahs have no shachas whatsoever to an angelic world in which the Malachim live. And if the Malachim knew this, what was their protest from the very beginning? What was bothering them? Why did they say, how can you give the Torah to a Yilud Isha? By what we just heard now in this debate, the question should have been to the Malachim, how can't I give this Torah to a human being? The Torah I'm giving them has no relationship to you, Malachim, whatsoever. So what's going on over here? The Malachim had to have Moshe debate them to actually prove this to them. They couldn't figure out just by looking at the Aseres HaDibros alone that the Torah Moshe's being Mekabel Mahar Sinai and bringing to Klal Yisrael has nothing to do with angelic entities in Shemayim and is only shayich to human beings, mortal human beings, the Basav Adav living on the face of this earth. There's something missing over here. There's something that seems to be incomprehensible. Why did the debate have to take place? Why were the Malachim questioning what Hashem is planning to do? That the Torah should only be given and stay in Shemayim as it relates to Malachim. We see now the Torah does not relate to Malachim. It's geared for human activity. There's something missing from the text. And I learned this Gemara a long time ago, and I was perplexed, saying to myself, how do I understand this debate? Why did such a debate take place? What was the negative feelings of the Malachim concerning this issue? Moshe had to debate them, and only then they were able to acquiesce and befriend him and give full, total support. There is a major principle missing from the Gemara text that requires analysis, understanding. As we're about to come close to the Yom Tov Shavuos, which commemorates the Kabbalah Satera of Klal Yisrael of the Aseres HaDibros, and also alludes to what Moshe Rabbeinu then left them and went up to Har Sinai for 40 days, 40 nights, the Mekabel Kol HaTorah Kulo, as Chazal tell us in the Midrashim. So it's important to know exactly what this debate was about. How do we understand it? How do we conceptualize it? And how, Baruch Hashem, did it turn out to be a very, very happy occasion, not only for Moshe Rabbeinu and Klal Yisrael, but even for the Malachim, who later on supported this with 100% support, and were a makar of Moshe Rabbeinu, showing him ava, love and concern, and support to all that he was going to do for Klal Yisrael, Moshe was the one who was given the mandate, Teretz Yivolana Moshe, Marasha Kilas Yaakov. They were totally support of that specific concept. A couple of years ago in my research, I came across the answer. And I want to share this incredible answer with you at this point in time. I ask you to listen very closely, because this yisod that I'm going to share with you today is simply incredible, something that I hope you'll always remember, and something that I believe once I articulate the entire principle in the next couple of minutes, will explain with exactitude what was the tumult that the Malachim made, what was the mistake they made, why they made the mistake, what was the clarification that Hashem and Moshe gave the Malachim, and what happened at the end. So listen carefully as I share this principle. The Gadol who I found discussed this very point was a North African Gadol Hadar whose name was the Radvaz Reish Dalid Zion Vez of David Ben Zimra. Radvaz Reish Dalid Vez Zion. And this Radvaz says, if you want to understand exactly what's going on over here, I'm going to reveal to you what really took place behind the scenes. So listen carefully. What the Radvaz says is we have a Kabbalah going back to Kabbalistic Zohar literature that points out that the Torah that Hashem initially created before Briyat HaOlam, the divine Torah that Hashem brought into existence, as the Gemara says, many generations before Briyat HaOlam, the Torah that Hashem was Mistaka Bereisa Bara Alma, that served as the blueprint for the creation of the universe and all its various dimensions and parts, this was a unique type of Torah. It wasn't the Torah that had the narrative of the Torah that we have in the Chamishei Chumshei Torah, starting with Bereishis, ending with Zeis HaBracha, with all of the narrative and all of the events that took place, the historical events, the mitzvah statements. That initial text of the Torah did not have that text of our Torah, the way we read it in the Bati Knesios when we have Kriyas HaTorah each and every week. In fact, the Zohar says that the text of the prehistoric Torah didn't have a physical klaf, didn't have physical ink, but the Zohar compares the prehistoric Torah to an eish shechira, to a black fire with words superimposed on the klaf made from white fire. Eish shechira al gabi eish levana. It's the terminology used by our Chazal in the Zohar Kabbalistic literature. When Moshe went up to Har Sinai, one of the revelations Hashem gave Moshe Rabbeinu, as the Ramban mentions in his Hakdamah to the Torah, is Moshe was shown this prehistoric Torah of Briyat HaOlam, and he showed him exactly what's written inside. And what in fact was written inside this Torah? So the Ramban, who's the Mekubal, gives us a glimpse, an explanation in his introduction to the Torah in Sefer Bereishis. The Ramban says, when Moshe was shown the letters of the Torah of the black fire superimposed upon a white fire backdrop, all of the words contained over there were shemos, were names of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, describing the Rabbeinu Shalom. If Hashem is infinite, the names and the terms describing HaKadosh Baruch Hu are infinite as well. And what the Ramban says is when Moshe saw this Torah, he was shown how every group of letters in this Torah were shemos, were holy names of Hashem, describing the divine powers of Hashem, the divine personality of Hashem, the divine capacities of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And the fact of the matter is This Torah, this prehistoric Torah that Hashem created and used as the blueprint for Briyat Olam, was available for the Malachim to learn and analyze as well. When the Malachim looked into this prehistoric Torah, they were able to see by seeing the Shemus Hashem and all the terms describing Hashem, attributes of Hashem that they were able to talk about and sing Shira to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. They were capable of understanding these terms on a very, very high angelic level, higher than the capacity of human beings, even a Moshe Rabbeinu, when it comes to understanding them, since the Malachim are incorporeal, like the Rabbeinu Shalom. The terms describing HaKadosh Baruch were more understandable to them and comprehensible to them than to any human being reading this text while they are still alive in this specific world. Lo Yo'er Adam V'Chai, Hashem said to Moshe Rabbeinu, when Moshe says, I want you to reveal who you are, he said to him, as long as you're a physical person in this world, you cannot comprehend who HaKadosh Baruch is. The Malachim comprehend me. For Moshe is still a Yulad Isha, and until you leave this world and go to the next world, and your neshama joins the Malachim with all other neshamas in Shemayim near the Kisei HaKavod, then you'll have a full awareness and comprehension who HaKadosh Baruch Hu is on a very higher level. So this was the Torah that the Malachim learned, the Torah that the Malachim used to analyze and connect themselves to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the Torah that the Malachim used to relate to Hashem, develop a Devekus, and praise Hashem with Shira each and every day, based upon the information contained in this ancient Torah that was created before the physical creation of Briyat HaOlam. What, however, the Ramban tells us is that this same Torah, which also had five parts, which correspond to the five chalakim of the Chamishei Chumshei Torah, which we have today, this is what the Ramban calls the Torah's Nister, the Kabbalistic form of Chamishei Chumshei Torah, that's full of Shemus HaKadosh Baruch Hu, from the beginning of Bereshis to the end of Le'eni B'nei Yisrael. All of it is Shemus Hashem. But then comes along the Ramban, and he gives the second Kabbalistic revelation over here. And listen to this. This is a tremendous chiddush, what I'm going to be sharing with you at this point in time. What the Ramban says is that this Torah that had the Shemus HaKadosh Baruch Hu from the beginning to the end, believe it or not, when it comes to the letters of the Torah, is identical to the letters of Torah contained in our Chumash, which he calls the Teiras HaNigla, the revealed Teiras Shebiksav of Chamishei Chumshei Torah, which Hashem gave to Klal Yisrael in the world later on. Both Torahs have the same exact letters, no more and no less. But when it comes to our Torah's Nigla, the letters are rearranged in a format that the text of the Torah we have down here is the text of the Torah that we read with the historical narratives, with the halachic narratives. The wording is different than what's in the divine Torah of Nistar that the Malachim have access to. And therefore, it's a totally different type of Torah when it comes to the audience that the Teiras HaNigla, which Moshe received, a different type of audience, which has to have a certain level of physical existence to relate to this Teiras HaShebiksav, this written Torah that's called the Nigla, the revealed law. What's interesting is that the letters are exactly the same as the Teres Hanista, the Kabbalistic form the Malachim have, but the Malachim version, the words and the letters read one way, names of God. The Teres Hanigla, which we have, the Chamishei Chumshei Teira, are the same exact letters, but they're rearranged to spell out the text of the Chamishei Chumshei Teira we have, that we read each week when we have Kriyas HaTorah taking place in our Bati Knesios. Exact same letters, but the Teres Hanista Shemes Hashem and the Teres Hanigla that we have of it, written with ink, real ink, on actual physical parchment, is the mitzvos and the histories and the hashkafis and the ideologies mentioned in the Chamishei Chumshei Torah, which we got, and Moshe ultimately gave to us at the end of his life, a complete version of Kol HaTorah Kula, the Chamishei Chumshei Torah. I taught you last week, there's a debate in the Gemara and Gittin, whether Moshe wrote the entire Chumash from beginning to end at one sitting at the end. That's the concept of Chasuminitna. Or did Moshe Rabbeinu write it piecemeal? Hashem dictated it to him, and only at the end he sewed together all the parchments to make the Chamishei Chumshei Torah, which we have in our physical possession today. Now, with that piece of knowledge, let me tell you what the Radva says. The Radva says, of David ben Zimra says, that the Malachim in Shemayim only knew about the Teres Hanistar, the divine format of the Torah, of the black fire superimposed upon the backdrop of the white fire. That's the only text of the Torah they knew, the names of God. And when Moshe Rabbeinu came up to Har Sinai and then went up to Shemayim to mekabel the Torah, and they heard as Hashem announced that Moshe's coming to take the Torah, they were puzzled. They were bewildered. They said to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, how can you give Moshe the Teres Hanistar that we have, that we learn from? He's a human being. He and the rest of Klal Yisrael, the human beings on the face of this earth, cannot comprehend the Nista version of Kol HaTorah Kula. You have to be a malach to be able to comprehend it. It's metaphysical, it's Kabbalistic in nature. Even Moshe, as long he was alive, really could not understand it on the level that it's supposed to be understood as the malachim understood it. And therefore they were puzzled and said to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, who is this Yelurisha, who is this human being that's going to take now the Teres Hanista that we have in Shemayim, that preceded Briat Olam. He's going to bring it down to the Jews to learn this Torah with them. He doesn't comprehend it. They won't comprehend it. What's going on over here? This was the confusion that the Malachim had. They couldn't comprehend what the Rabbeinu Shalom was doing. And they were fearful it might end up being counterproductive. They might misinterpret this Kabbalistic and Torah and therefore misuse it and end up with unfortunate negative consequences. So the Rabbeinu Shem said to Moshe Rabbeinu, Moshe, we're going to put the Malachim at ease and you're going to debate them with my help. And we're going to reveal to the Malachim something they never knew before. And that is the Chamishei Chumshei Torah, which they have, the Teres Hanista format. What we're going to reveal to them is that the format I'm giving you for Klal Yisrael is not the Teres Hanista format, but the Teres Hanigla, the other version of this Torah. The version that we read today of the Chamishei Chumshei Torah and Asifrei Torah in the Bati Knesios. You're going to explain to them by me quoting the verses as the letters are rearranged in the Teres Hanigla format. What it says in the Torah that I'm giving you that relates explicitly only to human beings and has no relevance to the Malachim whatsoever. And I'll protect you that you won't be hurt in the debate by the fiery essence of the Malachim. He surrounded Moshe, and Moshe grabbed a hold of the Kisei HaKavod with a divine cloud, with a special Ziva Shechina. And Moshe said, okay, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I'm ready. Start quoting the version of the Torah Shebiksav, the Chumash that you're giving me. That's different than the Torah of Torah Shebiksav of the Nista, which the Malachim possess. And one by one, Hashem quoted to Moshe Rabbeinu just the Aseres Adibros alone. And Moshe then turned and said to the Malachim, let me ask you a question. The Torah format that Hashem's giving to us, for me as the Shliach of Klai, so to bring down to them, is this the Torah text that you learn in Shemayim? The Torah's Hanister? No, it isn't. It's a new version of the Torah where the letters are rearranged in a Teres HaNigla format, geared exclusively and only for the consumption and understanding of human beings, of Yehuda Isha like myself, who live on the face of this earth in a different type of existence, in a different type of material world. In a physical universe, not a metaphysical universe. And therefore, each and every Dibra that Hashem mentioned, Moshe turned and explained to the Malachim how the mitzvahs and the concepts contained in the Torah that Hashem is giving Moshe and Klal Yisrael have no shaykhis, have no connection to angelic existence. And Moshe argued to them, showing them now, one of the Aseres Hadibros has any relationship to the angels in Shemayim. You can't perform any of these mitzvahs. There's no relationship of these mitzvahs to any one of you. And therefore, based upon that, Moshe slowly but surely, as the Gemara records, as I quoted the Gemara, prove to the Malachim merely by just quoting the Aseres Hadibros that the Teres HaNigla that Hashem was giving Klal Yisrael was something that was made for Yehuda Isha, for human beings, for their consumption, for their connection to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, for their spiritual development, for their ability to relate to Hashem on a human level and develop a Dveikus Abay Sidbak by learning Torah and understanding Torah on a human level, in a humanly conceived, written Torah b'HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the Torah Shebiksav HaNigla. When the Malachim heard this and understood, because they never knew before, there's another version of the Torah Shebiksav. There's a human version besides the angelic version. When they heard what Hashem is giving Moshe and Klal Yisrael, they then realized the Chachma Hashem had in doing what he's doing. They then understood why Moshe felt confident that he and Klal Yisrael could master the Torah that's been given to them, and why they had no relationship to Moshe Rabbeinu Klal Yisrael's Torah on any level whatsoever. They made shalom with him, they befriended him, they gave him matanos, and shalom reigned in Shemayim between the Malachim above and Moshe and Klal Yisrael and human beings below. Peladika, Peladika Gemara, as explained by the Radvaz, that the Malachim never knew there's another version of the Torah Shebiksav. There's a human version, which has been given to Moshe and Klal Yisrael, not the angelic version of Teres HaNista of Teres Shebiksav, that Malachim had an access to, but was not being given over to human beings as their official text of the Torah. Moshe was shown this text of the angelic format. The Ramban claims that Moshe was allowed to absorb the knowledge of that text as well on a certain level, and as a Kabbalist to pass it over on a Kabbalistic level to other Mukubalam, other great spiritual individuals throughout the generations, like Rishim ben Yochai, who are capable of understanding that text on some level, not like an angel, but on a higher level than most human beings. But the Teres HaNista was not revealed to mankind at large, not to Klal Yisrael at large, and it remains in the domain of the Malachim Ad HaYoim Hazeh. This was the debate. This was the lundus of what happened over there. The Malachim didn't know about the other version. They protested, but when they found out about the other version, they acquiesced and praised Hashem for the brilliance of what he did of creating a human version of what they had on their level as a divine version. Torah Shebiksav Nista for Malachim, Torah Shebiksav Nigla for human beings. And when you look at this Agadata, and you look at the Radvaz Perish, I want to share with you, therefore, the ultimate Taitza of what basically happens as a result of this entire discussion.
You are listening to BensTorah.com.
How does this work itself out in the real world in which we live? And I'm going to give you another Gemara, in Masechtas Pesachim, that will explain the practical application of the difference between the two Torahs and how it relates to us as human beings, as Jews, as Ovdei Hashem, in our existence in the world in which we live, especially in the world of Torah v'Mitzvos, which we observe. The Gemara tells us in Masechtas Pesachim, on Daf Samech Chesamabei 68b, that there is a machlokes between the Tana Reb Elezer and the Tana Reb Yeshua when it comes to how we're supposed to enjoy our Simchas Yomtiv. There's a mitzvah Samachti Bechagecha, one of the mitzvahs asay of the Torah, one of the Tayag mitzvahs. How do we generate Simcha on Yom Tiv, on Pesach, on Shavuos, and Sukkos? So Reb Elezer says, when it comes to his opinion, Ein lo la'odam b'yom tov, ela o ocha v'shoysa o yoshe v'shona. He has two alternatives. He could spend the day of Simcha of eating and drinking, or spend the day in sitting and learning continuously from beginning to end. That's Reb Elezer's version. Rabbi Yeshua's version is, no, chalkehu. You have to divide the day in various parts. Chetzio la'achila v'shtia. Half the day should be involved in the physical activities of eating and drinking. Chetzio la'beis ha'medrash. Half should be dedicated to learning Torah and studying spiritual texts. At the end of the day, the Gemara says, both of these gedolim derived it from pasukim. One pasuk says, Atzeres l'Hashem Elokecha, Yom Tov should be a day of assemblage for Hashem in spiritual levels, totally in the service of God. The other pasuk says that what should be the nature of Yom Tov, Atzeres t'yelachem, it should be Atzeres, an assembly for you, your physical needs and necessities of eating and drinking. Rabbi Elezer says you have a choice of either doing this pasuk or that pasuk, either kulu l'Hashem or kulu l'chem, either entirely for you, eating and drinking, or l'Hashem, entirely in spiritual pursuits. Rabbi Yeshua says, no, you have to mekayim both pasukim. Chalkeyu, one pasuk refers to your activities of physical pleasure, eating and drinking, and that's the part of Atzeres Te'elachem. The Atzeres L'Hashem Elokecha refers to the spiritual part of learning. In this machlokes talmidos, in Shulchan Aruch we paskin like Rabbi Yeshua, that you have to divide the day in various parts. The Rambam paskins as such in Hilchas Yom Tov, and says when it comes to Simchas Yom Tov, you have to eat and drink and learn and daven. You have to wear beautiful clothing. Women should be brought by their husbands beautiful clothing and jewelry to make them happy, to generate simcha. Men should be given a lot of delicious foods cooked by their wives, meat. They should drink beautiful, delicious wine. Children should be of all type of nashera yanyamtiv, that they should enjoy the simcha santa by being given foods they normally not given the rest of the year, to nash and enjoy themselves, besides being taught divrei Torah by their parents and their rabbeim on the Yom Tovim itself. It should be a day that's split between physical pleasures and spiritual pleasures, such as the psak of the Shulchan Aruch and the psak of the Rambam and the way we paskin. But there's one more piece of the Gemara that I want to mention. And that is, even though the Gemara says there's a debate, the Gemara then records Hakol Moedim, that whether you're Rabbi Yeshua or Rabbi Elazar, everybody agrees and concedes that on Atzeres, which means on the Yom Tov of Shavuos, unlike Pesach or Sukkot, everybody agrees. Rabbi Elazar agrees to Rabbi Yeshua, Debeina Nami Lechem, that you have to basically divide the day on the Yom Tov of Shavuos between spiritual pursuits of learning and physical pursuits of eating delicious and delectable food and drinking very, very special wine, that you should have physical and spiritual pleasure on the Yom Tov of Shavuos. Even Rabbi Elazar says by the other Yom Tovim you can have either this or that. On Shavuos he admits you have to have both. And the Gemara says, what's the reason? My taima, Yom Shenit Botarahu. It's the day that the Torah was given over to Klal Yisrael. So the obvious question everybody asks is that if I had to articulate the Svara, I might have come up with the opposite conclusion. That since Shavuos is Man Matan Tarisenu, it's the day of the spiritual revelation of the Torah to Klal Yisrael by HaKadosh Baruch Hu b'chvodo b'atzmo, it was a day that was infused with total spiritual revelation, total spiritual elevation. Klal Yisrael were sanctified with the highest Kedusha, a brand new Tzelem Elokim on the highest level to connect and literally have a Devekus between themselves and the Rabbeinu Shalom. If you and I were writing this, you would say that perhaps everybody agrees, including Rabbi Yeshua, that on Shavuos it should be exclusively Atzeres LaHashem Elokecha. It should be totally spiritual. We shouldn't be involved in physical pursuits. But guess what? When you look at the Gemara says the opposite. That Shavuos should be a day of physical pursuits besides spiritual pursuits. And it's Rabbi Elazar who agrees to Rabbi Yeshua when it comes to this, not vice versa. What's the rationale? What's the explanation of this? So the Beis Halevi, Rav Yosef Dov Halevi Soloveitchik, the great Volozhiner Rosh Yeshiva, the Tata Rav Chaim Soloveitchik of Brisk, my Rebbe, Rav Soloveitchik's great-grandfather, who he was named after, with the Beis Halevi says that the answer is very simple. On the Yom Tov of Shavuos, when the debate between Moshe and the Malachim took place about Kabbalah's Atarid of Klal Yisrael, what was the winning statement of Moshe Rabbeinu to the Malachim that allowed him to be successful and be Menatzeach with the debate he had with the angelic entities in Shemayim? What was the argument he used that ultimately convinced the Malachim that Moshe and Klal Yisrael should receive the Torah Hashem's giving them and should have no concerns about this whatsoever. Going back to the Gemara and Shabbos I mentioned before, according to the interpretation of the Radvaz, the answer is very simple. Moshe proved to the Malachim that the Torah Hashem's giving us only applies to human beings because it involves physicality. It involves human beings. It involves eating and drinking l'shem mitzvah, making brachos, making sudas mitzvahs, being able to adhere to halachas of basa b'chalav, shechting kosher meat, bringing karbanos in the Beis HaMikdash, which were consumed by the kohanim and consumed by the owners, the Jews who brought the Karban Shlema, who also partook of this meat as well. It involves a tremendous amount of physical human activity, of eating and drinking, of being mesameach, and being able to deal with the physical mitzvahs that are contained in the Torah, Kibur Avraham, Shmirah Shabbos when it comes to resting from halacha, conducting business, behaving yourself in the Ben Adam Lachaveru and Ben Adam Lamakim relationships. What Moshe taught the Malachim is you can't be Mekayim our Torah that Hashem's giving me to bring down to the Jews because you do not have physicality. You cannot relate to the physical mitzvahs contained in Kol HaTorah Kula. It's the physical mitzvahs, and especially the mitzvahs of Achila, that have shaychus to human beings like me and Klal Yisrael and the world at large. They have no shaychus whatsoever to the angelic entities in Shemayim who don't eat and drink. What we do on the Yontov HaShavuos is bedafka go overboard to demonstrate why we were able to menatzeach the Malachim in this debate and win the debate, and why Hashem was allowing Moshe to take the Torah he was going to give him from Har Sinai in Shemayim to bring it down to the Jews, because the Torah that Hashem gave us, and the Malachim finally realized this, was the Torah of Torah Shebiksav HaNigla that has relationships only when it comes to human beings. Malachim are totally devoid of any connection to that form of the Torah. The Torah of Torah HaNista, the Kabbalistic format of the black fire ksav on that of the white fire backdrop klaf, that's what was left in Shemayim for the Malachim. That relates to them. There's no physical necessity in observing and understanding and applying that specific Torah. The Malachim found Menuchas and Nefesh in the knowledge of this, acquiesced to what Hashem was doing for Moshe and for Klal Yisrael. So on the Yom Tov HaShavuos, we go out of our way to eat fleishiks, to eat milchiks, to eat sudos of Yom Tov. The rest of the day we're not busy eating and drinking and wearing beautiful clothing. As I mentioned before, the Rambam says, husbands should buy beautiful clothing for their wives, for the Yom Tov, and should buy them beautiful jewelry to make their wives happy. And the wives should go out of the way to cook delicious, delectable sudais on Yom Tov to make sure the husbands have tremendous farginigin and are eating delicious and delectable foods. Of all the Yom Tovim on Shavuos, this is a major crucial factor. In fact, to show how careful we are in observing Torah and Halacha, some have a minig that on the first night of Shavuos, that you basically have a milchika meal first and then a fleishika meal afterwards. You separate halachically in between based upon the stringencies of Halacha, to show that we're able to adhere to the halachas of basa b'chalav and able to therefore on a human level relate to the strictures of the Torah on every specific level, even when it comes to the dietary rules we have to adhere to. The fact of the matter is There's another Medrash Chazal brought down by the Beis HaLevi himself, that when the Malachim questioned why they weren't given our Torah, so Hashem said to them, when you came to the house of Avram Avinu and Pashas Vayera, and Avram gave you first Milchiks and then he gave you Fleishiks, you didn't know what to do with it. It appears from the Torah that you ate the Milchiks and Fleishiks together. You weren't able to relate to the halachas of the separation between Basar B'Chalav, a halacha the little children are taught in Yeshiva, Katana, and halacha that these children, boys and girls, master to adhere to the kashrus of Basar B'Chalav the rest of their life. You as Malachim cannot relate to this. That's not the Torah that you're supposed to be observing or that you can have a connection to. That is why the Gemara tells us in Masechtes Pesachim that when it comes to the Yontif of Shavuos, everybody admits that we have to have Chetzi Elohim v'Chetzi LaHashem. Half the day has to be spent in learning and davening and praying. The other half of the day has to be spent in the concept of eating and drinking, wearing beautiful clothing, enjoying the physicality of our existence in the Teredika type of halachic format. That's what distinguishes us as human beings. That's what qualified us to get the Teirah Shebiksav and Teirah Shebapeh that Hashem gave Moshe Har Sinai to bring it down to us. The Teirah says, V'chai b'hem, we have to live by the Teirah, survive by the Teirah, enjoy the Teirah, and have the Simchas HaYomtiv that Hashem mandated us to have on a human level which only human beings can experience, and Malachim don't have even a comprehension of what that means. It's not shayich to them. This is why Halacha mandates, and why we have Psukim later on of the Rambam, that a Nozer the Rambam Paskins and Hichus Deyos, as great and as kaddish as Nazir Amuar, they were referred to as being choten, they were sinners. What was the terrible sin of a Nozer? So the Rambam quotes the Maimir Chazal, that they were maneya themselves from drinking wine and wine products. They did not swallow food upon themselves, only wine and wine products, a product that Hashem created on the face of this earth for human enjoyment. Not only was it used as a food to feed human beings, the wine was used as part of the karbanos in the Beis HaMikdash, with the nisa chayaya and the wine libations that were poured when holy karbanos were brought to the mizbeach, and the wine was poured on the altar the same way the body parts of the animal and the fats were burnt upon the altar. HaKadosh Baruch Hu Bichvado ubiatzmo gave us physical permissible pleasures in this world, and he wanted us to benefit from them. He wanted us to enjoy them. And when a person asks upon themselves that which is permissible, the Rambam says very explicitly a statement which is peledik, which is incredibly powerful. And he says it in Hilchos Deos. And I want to paraphrase him. He says over here, why is it that a Nozer has to bring a carbon chatos? It says in the Torah of a keeper love kashachot al nefesh, what terrible sin did he do? So Chazal explained in the Gemara in Tainus, im Nozer shalom perish elemen ayayin sarach kapara. If a Nozer asked it upon himself, even just for 30 days, wine, and he has to bring a carbon later on at the end of the Nazirus for kapara, for denying himself the pleasure of wine. Hamaneya atzim yichodava v'dava, a person who prevents himself or herself from eating anything else or drinking anything else in the Torah that's in this world that's permissible for us. Surely you are sinning by doing this. Therefore, chazal were mitzav v'shal adam esas v'dram shemana. Not the terrible vad. The only thing we have to ask upon ourselves are the prohibited foods and drinks that the Torah asks it. And however, when it comes to Devarim Hamutarim, with Mutim and HaTorah, so he says, Amru Chachamim, Lo dayecha masha asra to. It's not sufficient. Hashem asid non kosher foods and drinks. Elasha to ois alecha dvar macherim. You're answering other things upon yourself that are permissible. The Ram says this is not what the Torah wanted. Shlomo says upon this, Al titzadik harbe, al tischacham yoseh, lama tishomeim. Why desolate yourself, making yisum upon yourself, which Hashem never ever wanted you to do. The only thing we have to do, and I'll end with this, which the Rama mentions, once again, this is in Perek Shlishi, Hilchas Deos, for those who want to look it up in Sefer Mada, the third chapter, he says at the end, the only thing you have to do is realize that when you eat and drink in this world, you have the physical pleasure of all the physical pleasures. You're doing it to maintain your health, to maintain your physical stamina, to be able to use that stamina and energy from the food and drink to do Torah and mitzvahs and to learn Torah, to be involved in ches and all different types of things. Even your sleeping at night should be l'shem shemayim. You should have the energy next day to do what you have to do and should have the koyach to be up and wide awake to perform all that is necessary. The crucial factor is, the Rambam says, kol ma'asecha l'shem shemayim. Whatever you do should be for the sake of heaven. B'chol d'rechecha da'eyu. It says in Mishlei Yishinah Hashem, in everything you do, hu yayashar chasecha, and he will give you direct guidance in walking a straight path. Realize that when it comes to eating and drinking, this is part of you existing in this world, part of human existence. We do it with permissible types of foods and drinks and permissible types of activities on every physical level. That's what divides us and separates us from the angelic community. That's the Torah that Hashem gave us on Har Sinai, a Torah geared to a bus of Adam, to human beings. That's what we're celebrating on the Kabbalah Sateva, on the Yom Tov Shavuos. The bracha I give to each and every one of you, Samachti Bechagecha, enjoy your Yom Tov. Quite obviously you'll be busy learning and hearing Teira and Shiurim, which is part and parcel of what Shavuos is all about, Kabbalah Sateva. But don't forget on Shavuos HaKalmodim, you have to eat and drink and enjoy the Sudas of Yom Tov on the highest level. You have to wear beautiful clothing to demonstrate the simcha that Hashem gave us in giving the ability to wear beautiful clothing, to be ashamed for teferes. We should walk around in a bekavedik way, both men and women. Make sure the husbands take care of their wives and the wives take care of the husbands, each one according to their capacities. Shalom bayis and simchas habayis. Simcha for your children as well. Have a samachta b'chayecha, have a wonderful simchas yom tov. And let's hope and pray l'shana haba we'll be able to have a simchas yom tov b'shleimus with the rebuilding of the Beis HaMikdash, where the simchas hayom tov reaches the highest level in the environment of the intensity of Hashem's divine shechina, as is mentioned by Chazal with achilas pasukachim and shtiyah of yayin in that specific context. L'shana haba b'yerushalayim habenuya. Have a wonderful Simchas Yom Tov and Kabbalah Sateira.
You have been listening to a presentation of BensTorah.com.